time to do the job. Time to do the job! Behold the jobber of jobbers. Daniel Jobber.
What's up, everybody? This is the D-Job Danimal, Daniel Jobber here, self-proclaimed Duke of the Cruiserweights, with another episode of Jobbing Out with Danimal Daniel Jobber 205 Live and the WWE Cruiserweight Report. It's a tough time to do a podcast. Of course, I just watched our Edmonton Oilers go down tonight 2-1 to Anaheim in Game 7 of their series. And it was pretty disappointing because I really thought that the Oilers were going to win this series. Really thought that they had something special. Thought that they maybe had a cup run in them this year. But it was not to be. The Cinderella season came to an end. And it's too bad. Nothing to be ashamed of, though. I mean, they really did us proud. I mean, they made me proud to be a Northern Albertan. So I just want to say congratulations on a great season, Oilers. Sorry we couldn't watch you go all the way this year. And we look forward to seeing you next year because you've got a great young team and lots of great future for our Edmonton Oilers. So I just wanted to say one more time this year, go Oil, go Oil, go Oil! Also, it's hard to focus on a podcast because I got that song Judas from Winnipeg's Chris Jericho and his band Fozzy, that song in my head. And if you haven't heard it yet, it's pretty catchy. Gotta say, I got the song, yeah, Judas in my mind. Yeah, very catchy song, and it's funny, if Chris Jericho is able to take a genre like heavy metal, and actually, to me, make it sound a lot more mainstream, like a more mainstream pop kind of song, so that's as good a song as I've ever heard from Jericho and Fozzy, and I think it's a perfect song for Chris Jericho. So if you haven't had a chance to hear Judas yet, make sure you check it out, because it's really good. And it was a quiet week in the WWE. They were, ratings are still down. They have been for a few weeks. Some of the lowest they've been all year. And they were on tape delay as they were in England this week for the shows in for Raw and SmackDown, and, they were kind of lackluster. They really didn't look like they did that much to put on a show for England and show them why, you know, WWE is the best wrestling product, so, which is not uncommon. They apparently have a lot of lackluster shows when they go to England. They don't always put on their best performances or their best rating for the show, but it was entertaining enough, I guess. Of course, the big news is Braun Strowman is apparently injured. They found out just before the Raw show. Some kind of elbow injury, may require a minor surgery or something, could keep him out of action for a little while. Of course, they played it up in the show like he has a rotator cuff tear, which I'm thinking would be a longer time out if it really was that. So I think that's just a kayfabe injury. But yeah, it threatens to maybe keep him out of action at the next Raw pay-per-view, Extreme Rules, which is, I think, still about a month away or a little over a month away. I guess he was supposed to take on Roman Reigns again in Extreme Rules, so that might make them change their plans. But also they're talking about it possibly threatening his, I guess he was supposed to face Brock Lesnar for the title at Great Balls of Fire, which, which is still almost 2 months away or more, or whatever it is. Yeah, a couple, 2 months away, right, because it's going to be the third month without Brock Lesnar defending the title. And I don't know, that was kind of surprising. One, because, well, I mean, he didn't seem like the one he would be getting the next title shot. I know he's one of the most natural baby faces all of a sudden after destroying Roman Reigns for the past little while here. And, of course, Roman Reigns is one of the most hated men in wrestling, maybe one of the most natural heel, non-heels in all the WWE. And just happens to be my favorite wrestler, so I always enjoy watching the heat he garnishes as a wrestler. But anyways, yes, he. So I mean, I can see why. I guess they'd want to get him involved in the title picture, but I still think Finn Balor should be the next one to get the title shot, and of course lose to Brock Lesnar, not beat him or anything. But I feel like he should be the first to get the rematch because he never really lost the title to begin with. He lost it due to injury, so I think he should be the next one to get a title shot, even if he's not meant to win it back at this point, as long as Brock Lesnar's run continues. And of course, I'm still hoping that no matter who faces him at Great Balls of Fire, that whoever faces him at SummerSlam takes the title off him, because I think they really need to get the title off of Brock Lesnar. They just don't need a part-timer ruining their brand, bringing down their title. So whoever they decide to face him at SummerSlam, whether it's Braun Strowman again or Roman Reigns even, I think they got to get that title off him, no matter who wins it. Anyone's better than a part-time champion like Brock Lesnar, in my opinion. So anyways, that's pretty much all that's going on in WWE. Of course, Jinder Mahal's still on his bit of a tear in SmackDown Live with the Singh brothers, trying to make Alberta proud, as well as, of course, try to sell WWE in India. Of course, just to remind you, if you didn't catch last week's and aren't familiar with Jinder Mahal, he is the nephew of the great Gama Singh from Stampede Wrestling back in the 80s and 90s. And, of course, I used to watch him personally, so I'm a fan of the great Gama Singh. And, they were heels, but, of course, being a fan of wrestling, I always have fond memories of the Singh faction. And he's trying to bring this Singh faction back to WWE in the modern times, which is just perfect timing with the way they're trying to sell the network and, of course, the entire product in India. So I was saying, if Jinder Mahal can manage to sell the product in India, it'd be a huge, huge strong mark on his career. So I wish him well. I hope he continues to make Alberta proud and keep Alberta wrestling relevant as we keep moving forward. So anyways, just like last week, this week's edition of Jobbing Out with Danimal Daniel Jobber is hosted by the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. And I hope you guys will check them out. You can catch their podcasts and their great shows on YouTube, on the cellular app Podbean. You can catch them on iTunes and Google Play Music, I guess, or Google Play Downloads, whatever you want to call them. They have great shows like Mike the Ref's own The Blown Call and his shorter podcast known as Quick Calls. Of course, there's great wrestling action like CWC Evolution and RCW Breakout. Of course, RCW Breakout recently released their fourth episode, in which the middle match has my pal Marky, the original Marky, getting a big victory over Knight. And, of course, now it has been announced that his next match is in a number one contenders match against Big Jesse Youngblood for the number one contendership for the RCW title. So, of course, wish him well. Hope he does well in that match, and I hope he gets another title shot because he was a really good PWA champion not too long ago. So, go Marky! That's my bud. And, of course, there's the Sounds of Struggle podcast featuring Chris Parrish and Maniac. Man, I love listening to these guys. Check them out and move with them, just move with them, just move with them, just move with them. Because they are entertaining, man, and they cover all aspects of sports. I'm sure they're going to have a heyday over the Oilers' loss and everything that's happening in hockey, as well as all the other great stuff going on in sports and wrestling. So I hope you'll check them out. They are always entertaining. The Sounds of Struggle podcast. And of course, once you realize how great the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network is and how great it is to have this entertainment in Edmonton, make sure you go to their merchandise store at whatamaneuver.net and buy the t-shirts and show off how proud you are of this great network we have going on in Edmonton. So once again, check out the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network, Edmonton SPN. So anyways, not only do I talk about some local stuff and sports and wrestling in general on the Jobbing Out Cruiserweight Report, I also talk about cruiserweight wrestling from the WWE, so let's get to some cruiserweight action, shall we? First, it was a light week in cruiserweight action, only four actual matches this week. Two on 205 Live, one on Raw, and one on Main Event, which is quite a contrast from the eight matches from last week. But there was a couple of really good entertaining segments on 205 Live as well. So anyways, first up, On main event, we have Lindsay Dorado versus Drew Gulak on his cruiserweight crusade, as I like to call it. Drew Gulak gets a chance to pick on Lindsay Dorado as part of his crusade this week. And I think it's time, because Lindsay Dorado and Grand Metalik are actually more high-flying in a lot of ways than Mustafa Ali, who's been picking on. So anyways, he comes out as usual with his "I'm not lying, no high-flying" entrance. Get the fans understanding that he's on a crusade to get rid of high-flying from cruiserweight wrestling. And this was, and of course, you guys get the crowd to say it with him, but the crowd will have none of it. It was a fast-paced match, anyways. Dorado, with his bouncing and high-flying moves against Drew Gulak's power moves. Crowd's actually booing Gulak at one point, which is good to see for a cruiserweight heel, because they don't always get as much reaction from the crowd as some of the main roster guys do. But anyways, in the match, Dorado hits a handspring stunner near the end, and looks like he might actually win. However, when he goes for his top turnbuckle moonsault, just like last week against Mustafa Ali, Drew Gulak raises his legs and Dorado lands hard on top of Gulak's knees. And Gulak then gets up and puts Dorado in the standing dragon sleeper. And Dorado quickly taps out, giving Gulak yet another victory over high-flying cruiserweight style wrestling in his crusade. Short match, entertaining, good way to carry on the storyline and bring it to a non-205 live show. So great job, Drew Gulak, in keeping on the cruiserweight crusade. Gotta say, it's winning me over slowly and getting me intrigued what's going to happen next with it. So anyways, that was the match on main event. Then we had Monday Night Raw, where we have Jack Gallagher versus TJP. And of course, before the match, Neville was talking with TJP and telling him that if he wants a title shot, he needs to beat Jack Gallagher, and then he'll take care of the rest. But, I wonder if Neville's going to keep his word, eh? No, of course not. It's Neville. But anyways, of course, TJP goes out and does the best he can. So anyways, this match starts off kind of entertaining. You have TJP doing an impression of Jack Gallagher's little English peace sign. And of course, Jack Gallagher responds by doing a dab. And then of course, TJP does his own dab to kind of show how he does it better. And Jack Gallagher ends the escapade by hitting a vicious headbutt and going for an early pin. But of course, he doesn't get the three count. A little later on, they're battling outside the ring, and TJP does a drop toe hold on Gallagher, and Gallagher falls and hits his head in the steel steps. A few moments later, back in the ring, Gallagher does a couple of nice drop kicks. And finally, the match ends a bit after that, when TJP fails to hit his detonation kick, and Gallagher then pushes TJP into the corner, attempts to roll him up in an O'Connor roll, but TJP flips it over, grabs a handful of tights, and steals the victory over Jack Gallagher. Short match, but typical to how they showcase the cruiserweights on Raw. After the match, TJP attacks Gallagher and puts him in the knee bar, try and take him out of action and show Neville his worth, and try to earn his title shot. However, Austin Aries comes out of nowhere, breaks up TJP's move, and both Neville and TJP beat it like a bat out of hell for some reason, not even attempting to battle back or get revenge, leaving Austin Aries and Jack Gallagher alone, safe in the ring. And of course, this sets up a big segment on 205 Live, which I'll be talking about in just a moment. So now on to 205 Live. The show starts out with an intro showing footage of TJP's latest exploits and recapping the conversation between him and Neville on Monday Night Raw, where of course TJ Perkins asked about the title shot, and Neville said, "You take care of things by beating Jack Gallagher and I'll take care of the rest." The intro ends with TJP vowing that he won't let anyone stand between him and Neville, and that he will keep doing what he has to do until he is the WWE Cruiserweight Champion. Then the show kicks off with an entertaining segment set up from the end of the Cruiserweight match from Raw. Since the show is in London, England, out comes Gentleman Jack Gallagher to address the fans from his home country. He reminds them of how he was attacked by TJP, who he then refers to as Theodore Jeeves Perkins, in humor, and that he was saved by Austin Aries, and he says he wants to invite Austin to the ring to thank him with the fans in London. So out comes Austin Aries, again eating a banana for potassium. Why is he coming to the ring eating a banana? Why aren't you coming to the ring eating a banana? So anyways, Austin Aries says that it isn't necessary for Jack to go to all this trouble, as TJP had it coming anyways, and he did it to him as well. But Gallagher tells Austin that he's being humble, and he's known for his humility. Yeah, right. And that it's tradition, so he calls for 2 pints of beer. Austin Aries says he's more of a red wine kind of guy, and of course the fans boo this, but But Gallagher calms it down by saying, "Now, now, he's a nice guy, calm down." Anyways, he starts a tradition of toasting Austin Aries, singing, "For he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow." And that's when Neville's music hits, and in comes Neville to butt in. He comes out saying, "Jack, I always thought you were a parody of an Englishman, but seeing the fans here in London, I realize there's a bigger problem. You're all parodies of yourselves. It's disgusting. Have you no dignity?" And then Austin Aries then pipes in saying that Neville should not be questioning people's dignity after getting himself intentionally disqualified at Payback to keep his title, and that he likes the fans here in England. Neville says, "No one asked your opinion." Neville, technically no one asked your opinion either, good lad, so if you'd, push off, good chap, tally-ho, eh? Anyways, Neville reminds Austin Aries that he's had two chances to take his title, but failed, and tells him to enjoy his last day on 205 Live. And that's when the fight begins. Out comes TJ Perkins from nowhere to take out Austin Aries' leg. Jack Gallagher tries to defend him, and Neville comes to the ring and joins TJ Perkins as they both beat down Austin Aries for a second. Jack Gallagher then takes out Neville with a dropkick and goes after TJ Perkins, pulling him off of Austin Aries, hitting him with a European uppercut, and climbing out of the ring. However, Neville grabs Jack Gallagher and throws him hard into the barricade, almost flipping him over, and taunts the crowd for a bit and yells at them. And both him and TJ Perkins attack Gallagher outside of the ring for a moment and work on him for a minute. And then Austin Aries comes out of nowhere from the top rope and attacks him from behind. And then Neville and Austin Aries attack, fight each other outside the ring. And Austin Aries throws Neville hard into the barricade, picks up TJ Perkins, and throws him into the other barricade on the other side. Oh, what a great action sequence. And then Austin Aries goes back on a Neville and grabs him by the neck and starts hitting him in the head and throws him over the announce table and jumps over and starts attacking him and hitting him, giving him the business. Oh, what action, man. This is a fight scene. Jack Gallagher goes back into the ring and TJ Perkins is begging for mercy, but then he tries to attack. But Jack Gallagher spits beer in his face, hits him with a vicious headbutt, dropping him to the ground. Oh, and then in comes Neville, hitting Jack Gallagher with a mule kick, but Austin Aries comes in and hits him with a discus five arm, making the save, shooing Neville outside of the ring, and him and TJ Perkins run for cover, leaving Jack Gallagher and Austin Aries in the ring to finish their celebration. Back with the 2 pints of beer, Austin Aries and Jack Gallagher enjoy a toast, a nice long swig of ice-cold beer as they celebrate with the England crowd. Very entertaining segment to kick off 205 Live. And a great way to get the fans a little bit behind Austin Aries, and of course to give them a chance to see their old local favorite, Jack Gallagher. Then they go to a backstage segment showing Rich Swann meeting up with Noam Dar and Alicia Fox, and Rich Swann says, "Oh, so you're still with Alicia Fox, eh? I think you're thinking with the wrong body part." But then Noam Dar says, "How dare you try to break up a beautiful relationship like Alicia Fox and me?" And of course they defend their relationship for a bit. And then Rich Swann responds by saying, "You two really do deserve each other." And of course Noam Dar responds by saying, "Yes, we do deserve each other. And don't think we've forgotten how you tried to break up our relationship. And you'll be getting what you deserve too." Of course, threatening him, setting up their next match in the rivalry of the Alicia Fox storyline. Another good backstage segment. And basically these two segments made up for the missing match on 205 Live. They basically took the place of a match. But we still had a couple more matches to go on the show, and both of the matches were pretty good matches. So anyways, the first match has the premier athlete, Tony Nese, versus Mustafa Ali. This match actually turned out to be the Cruiserweight match of the week for me. This was in a week where all the matches were pretty good. The Cruiserweight division, I don't know, they take a lot of flack for not being that good in people's eyes, but the wrestling itself is pretty solid and entertaining as far as I'm concerned. And as I can't say enough about this match, back and forth, lots of flipping and flying action from Ali, and a beautiful dropkick from Ali where his legs actually get to the height of Tony Nese's head, which is why I said his dropkicks are actually better than Gentleman Jack Gallagher's dropkicks. And early on, Nese exits the ring to get away from Ali, but Ali does a running high-flying flip over the top rope onto Nese on the outside, getting the crowd even more into the match. The London crowd was really vocal and enjoying the show, even by this point in the night, which great to see. In the backstage area, anyways, Drew Gulak's watching in disgust as Mustafa Ali continues to defy his direction and do his high-flying cruiserweight moves despite his crusade to attempt to eliminate this from 205 Live. Anyways, then Nice goes to the other side of the outside ring area and lures Ollie over and catches Ollie off guard and punishes him, driving him into the barricade. And then, of course, Ollie does try to battle back, and he climbs up onto the barricade. And then Nice trips him, knocking him down onto the barricade, picks him up and drops him face first into the announcer table. Some really good, vicious action. You don't usually get to see in a cruiserweight match, and there's a bunch of it this week on 205 Live. Anyways, Tony Nese continues to beat up on Ali, displaying proof of his reputation as a bruiserweight. Tony Nese even shows off his agility by catching Ali off guard, hitting him with a springboard moonsault off the middle turnbuckle. Great stuff for Nese. So these two guys are here to go at each other with intensity, putting on a show of their best moves, even without a story and a reason for these two to actually be fighting. You can just feel the fire between the two of them, man. This was a really well-done match. These two had great chemistry together. Anyways, these two left it all in the ring, and it's a shame it had to end, but in the end, Ali finally catches Nice off guard, hitting him with a springboard DDT off the second turnbuckle after he threw him hard into the corner, and then the stunned Nice rolls into the corner. Ali quickly adjusts Nice's position, climbs to the top turnbuckle, and hits his inverted 450 splash, and gets the three count for the victory. The England crowd sure seemed to enjoy this match, although Drew Gulak watching on the monitor backstage sure did not. Surprisingly, though, as disgusted as he looked with all these high-flying moves, he chose not to go outside and do anything about it for some reason. Not sure why, he just chose to watch and look disgusted. I mean, was he not backstage? He could have come out and done something? Huh? Chose not to. So anyways, as they get ready for the main event involving Akira Tozawa, there's a quick bit showing Arya Daivari backstage, yelling at the shoe shine guy, saying, "You call this a shine? These are genuine Persian leather boots. They cost more than your house. I ain't paying a dime for your shoddy work." And then Akira Tozawa bumps into Arya Daivari, and Arya yells at Tozawa for getting sweat all over his $1,500 shirt made from silk from Dubai. Tozawa stares at him for a second, then starts with his, "Ah! And as Daivari goes off in disgust, Tozawa smiles, quite pleased with himself as he continues to the ringside for his match. And you can just see the intensity in his eyes as he goes. And before the match, they quickly have a segment announcing that Cedric Alexander is healed and is heading back to the cruiserweight division maybe as soon as next week, for all we know. So anyways, then we have the main event of the evening, Akira Tozawa versus the Brian Kendrick. He's a man with a plan. And when Tozawa enters the ring selling his battle cry, and the fans were already into it and eating it up, they were doing the ah, 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 you could hear in it. And it sounded like a good portion of the crowd was actually chanting, ha, 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 and you could just hear the crowd getting all into it, and really impressive how over Tozawa's battle cry is getting, and of course his intensity is just so infectious. This guy really is the real deal. I want to see him become the number one contender in the near future. And when Tozawa has the upper hand for the early part of the match, however, while battling Kendrick outside the ring, Kendrick catches him off guard and throws him suddenly face first into the announcer table. Kendrick then uses the steel steps to do his slice bread number 2 attack on Tozawa outside of the ring on the ringside floor. Tozawa sells slipping, trying to grab the bottom rope to get back in the ring, and just barely beats the 10 count. Kendrick then works over Tozawa for a bit, but is unable to get the pinfall or submission. Tozawa ends up getting the upper hand again, driving Kendrick off the outside apron with a running attack, getting the crowd all excited with the ha, ha, ha battle cry, and he hits Kendrick with an over-the-top rope suicide dive, really getting the crowd excited and into the match, man. They're going nuts at this point, and they're chanting in the background the battle cry for Tozawa. Did I mention the London crowd was awesome? Anyways, back in the ring, Tozawa hits Kendrick with his Shining Wizard running kick move, and almost gets the three count, but Kendrick then comes back with a vicious high-jumping kick, followed by a snap German suplex, getting a 2 count, and then he transitions it into his Captain's Hook submission hold, but Tozawa breaks the hold by grabbing the ropes. At this point, Tozawa has the crowd just eating out of his hand, but he goes to the top rope and misses an attack, and Kendrick gets him into the Captain's Hook yet again, and once again Tozawa is forced to grab the rope to break the hold, looking like he might actually tap out both times, and of course, thinking like, he can't lose this match, man, he's almost a number one contender. And Kendrick hasn't won a match in quite a while. But anyways, the match ends when Kendrick hits his slice bread number 2 in the corner, tries to grab Tozawa's legs for a pin, but Tozawa uses his legs to roll Kendrick over into a leverage pin, hooking both legs for the 1, 2, 3, getting the 3 count, and the crowd really appreciates Tozawa's victory, but of course the Brian Kendrick sure does not, and he viciously attacks Tozawa, throwing him out of the ring, throwing him hard face first into the announce table outside the ring. He drives Tozawa multiple times into the steel steps, and then he even lifts up the top step and puts Tozawa underneath the top step, and goes as far as to stomp on the top step with Tozawa underneath. And Kendrick does just a great job of selling how he's snapped from all the frustration from what Tozawa's been doing to him with the with all his repeat or right back at you lessons. And Kendrick grabs the mic and stands over, following Tozawa, and says, "Tozawa, I'm through. This is the final lesson I'm going to give you. Nobody messes with the Brian Kendrick." And he throws the mic hard down at Tozawa. Even goes as far as to pick up the mic, tries to stuff it into Tozawa's mouth before he leaves the ring area. And of course, his music's playing, "I'm a Man with a Plan," as he walks off the ring looking all tough and intense. And of course, the refs are attending to Akira Tozawa as the show goes off the air. Wow, what a dark, vicious, and brutal couple of matches on 205 Live. This match has so much intensity between these two competitors, just like the first one. However, of course, it was aided by the lesson storyline. But still, man, the intensity of these two matches, the chemistry between the guys, they chose two very good matches for the show this week. These two matches were pretty good showcases for the England crowd, and I actually thought they might be better than most of the matches on Raw and SmackDown. Wow. Oh, excuse me. Anyways, that's it for the action from the Cruiserweight division. Only four matches, but wow, all four are pretty dang good and just some really good storytelling. So I'm going to wrap it up with that. And, yeah. Of course, as always, I am the D-Job Danimal, Daniel Jobber, self-proclaimed Duke of the Cruiserweights, and you've been listening to the Jobbing Out with Danimal, Daniel Jobber, 205 Live and WWE Cruiserweight Report. You can follow me at Twitter, on Twitter, at Daniel Jobber, both capital D, capital J. And, of course, you can follow me on Instagram for all my awesome little vignettes and that sort of thing on Danimal Daniel Jobber, all lowercase letters. And, of course, check out my awesome website, danimaldanieljobber.ca, where you can see all my fun stuff and my awesome WWE Cruiserweight Power Rankings that are so popular these days. Please make sure you use your Discus account and sign up for one if you don't have one yet, of course, and leave me a comment to let me know that you were there and what you think of my website. Once again, this podcast comes to you courtesy of the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network, the awesome Edmonton SPN. Make sure you check them out and listen to the Blown Call, Quick Calls, CWC Evolution, RCW Breakout, the Sounds of Struggle podcast with Chris Parrish and Maniac. Move with them, just move with them, man. You won't regret it. And, of course, you can check them out, as mentioned before, on YouTube, on the mobile app known as Podbean, on iTunes, and on Google Play. So make sure you check them out, support them, and when you realize how great they are, remember to go to whatamaneuver.net and buy their awesome t-shirts to show off the great network that we have, supporting the Edmonton Network and Edmonton Wrestling, Edmonton Sports. Let everyone know that you know how awesome the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network really is. And, of course, you can follow the Edmonton Sports Podcast as well at Edmonton SPN with a capital E on Edmonton and capital S, P, and N, all three capitals. And, of course, you can follow Mike the Ref on Instagram under Mike the Ref EDM, all lowercase. Mike the Ref EDM. So make sure you follow Mike and the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network on Twitter and Instagram as you follow me. Anyways, I'm going to wrap it up. You guys have a wonderful week. Hope you enjoy all the great WWE action, Cruiserweight action, wrestling action, sports action, you name it. If you manage to put the disappointment of the Edmonton Oilers loss behind you and hopefully enjoy the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Of course, we got football season coming up just around the corner. Still lots of exciting sports left to go. Guys, have an awesome week. Jobber out!
Time to do the job! Behold the jobber of jobbers. Daniel Jobber. Ha 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 ha.